going to have to assess what we've got here. You and I. Oh. I don't know if I want you around.
I'd gladly go home and take a nap right now.
You know, you've got a problem. You really do. You ate so much food. You ate somewhere near 14, 15 pounds of ribs, I'm guessing.
I have sleep apnea. It makes me tired sometimes, okay?
Should have brought your machine.
I should have. Wouldn't that be great doing the show with our CPAPs? Dual CPAP machines?
You're like two Darth Vaders speaking with each other.
I open my mouth, it sounds like this.
The force be with you.
Amen.
Ticket Thursday at Tom Reed's. Presented by Rogoshevsky, Rogoshevsky and Adkins, criminal defense attorneys before you blow call Rogo. We're going to come on back. Here's what we're going to do.
Matt Khalil had knee surgery in the offseason.
He had both knees done.
And then he had like a...
Dr. Andrews.
A platelet-rich infused thing.
He blood spinning.
He had a couple other things done, shot in the knees. Is that going to fix everything? That's the question.
I'm hoping that was the issue last year. If that was him healthy last year.
I don't know why everybody's dad decides, okay, I've got a comment because Tom Brady's dad's talking. Now Matt Khalil's dad said, Matt Khalil looks fit.
Okay.
Why do we care what whoever's dad say about whatever? I mean,
the only thing
I care. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't care if he really looks fit. I just want to see him stay in front of somebody and dance.
Can he move his feet?
That's the bottom line. If he was hurting last year, I feel for him. A lot of times players don't want to come out and say that they're hurt. But don't get Teddy hit.
I mean,
if you're going to go out there and you're going to take a chance on playing, then play. All right. Done being that way. We're going to talk about Matt Khalil. We'll talk about him more right after the break, as if this wasn't enough. We'll do it again.
It's been going well. Obviously, there's been a battle for me, but, I'm a competitor, and I'm going to fight through any adversity that I face. I think this, for the most part, the second half of the season, I thought I've been playing a little bit better. Obviously, little plays given up here and there, and, they're going to be, blown out of proportion. But I'm under a microscope. For the most part, me watching film and, how my play has increased, and, I'm finishing a lot better like I should, and just keep fighting through the rest of the season.
Well, yeah.
Is that true?
What was once under the microscope is now being scoped knees.
Did Matt Khalil have a better second half, or did Norv Turner and the offensive line coach really just kind of hide it? Or was Teddy Bridgewater evading the rush better?
I think that things happened where the game slowed down a bit for Teddy, which allowed him to get the ball out quicker, which didn't put the heat on him as much. I don't know. I can't remember what Khalil was really doing there at the end. I'd have to go back and look. But I think he actually straightened it up a little bit. I think the sack total came mostly at the beginning of the year. And then I don't know what happened to Khalil. I mean, obviously he had two knees scoped during the offseason now. And so he's trying to get back from that. I don't know if that was an issue for him. A lot of guys play hurt.
He had them scoped. I don't know like both of them, but at least one of them scoped the year before, too. So two off seasons of scoping knees. He also had some injection for to ease joints, and then he had some blood spinning platelet deal that Kobe Bryant kind of really started
over
making that, really...
blood spinning.
Yeah.
Dr. James Andrews reportedly scoped both of Khalil's knees in January before the tackle underwent a... I think it's Regenics procedure.
Mm-hmm.
That's described as taking one's own blood, revolve it, remove it, isolate it, then process it. And what it becomes is an enriched blood with more red platelets. And it should heal sooner. That's the concept, is to gorge the muscle with more concentrated blood and the area of being reconstructed. Quicker healing.
Mm-hmm. Because he had the same problem. He missed some mini camps, and he was slow, I want to say, at training camp a little bit.
And Coach Zimmer talked with me about him, that he was getting back from that. Should be okay, but he wasn't able to get back as quickly as they thought. And when you get playing and you start playing the real, the real stuff, remember now, in preseason, these guys don't play that much. The starters don't really play that much in these modern times, apparently. But when I played, you had to play a lot, and you had to know and prove to your coaches that, okay, yeah, you start, but you're up and running. I mean, you're going, and you know that you've knocked the rust off your off season, and you've gotten yourself back into playing shape. That's a big deal. Then you go into the season without playing much, and you start messing stuff up. It's a FUBAR. We all know what a FUBAR is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we all do.
Beyond all recognition?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what he was going through, and I think maybe he probably did get it settled down.
He wasn't really endearing to people, though, as he was going through that problem. I mean, obviously, it's got to be tough to have radio stations, TV stations, people in the newspaper business taking shots at you because you're god-awful playing for your you know, everybody's favorite football team. But I don't know. I didn't really like how he was handling all of that last year. And remember, he flipped off the guy's hat, and he got a little...
The guy got into his face, and we had him on with us, by the way. We had the guy on with us. You know me. I was just talking trash. I was talking trash.
And he's a professional athlete making millions of dollars. You're going to get that. That's what happens.
Yeah, you sure
do. You're playing in Minnesota. Imagine playing in New York or Philadelphia and how these people would be so far up your... Or Chicago.
Wow.
I mean, any of these places where people would be so far up your keister. Minnesota, for somebody saying, hey, you play like a bum. Come on.
Literally is the tamest crowd in the National Football League, bar none. I can tell you that. I can absolutely tell you that for a fact. But anyway, yeah, if you go to Philadelphia, I think that's the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be. They'll hand you your ass. I mean, if you flip someone's hat off in Philadelphia, they'll rush you.
Yeah.
They'll all get you.
All 1,000 fans that are standing there as you're walking out.
Oh,
yeah, you'll be screwed.
It's unbelievable. Do we have any time?
No. For what?
Why don't we ever have any damn time?
What do you want?
I feel
time
like
for
I'm
what?
Rushed. I mean,
time
it,
for
it feels like we should still be able to talk about Khalil some more, and you're doing this to me.
Well, just all I ask you to do is just read this.
That bothers me.
Say radioactive sports.
Radioactive sports. Here.
No.
Then this?
Say that first.
Okay, Rogacheski, and Atkins is bringing this very show from Tom Reed's to us.
Yep.
So come on down and enjoy the good people, the good service, the good food, the good beer. Radioactive Sports, there I
go. No.
Let's go to a break.
No, stop it. Tom Brady's dad is spouting off about Deflategate, and so is his agent.
You didn't tell me to say that.
I'm saying it right now. Unbelievable reaction that I can't believe.
Don't you tell me what
Tom
to say.
Tom Brady is the victim. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll talk about that coming up next. 651-989-9105. That's our phone number if you want to take part, because this is becoming, one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. Tom Brady's dad.
Yeah.
Who cares about the dads?
No one cares about the old
Adrian
man.
Peterson's dad, Tom Brady's dad.
Just be happy for him. He makes a ton of money.
Nico
he married
Koifu's
a supermodel.
Dad.
She makes more money than he did.
I don't care what they have to say.
And I don't care what you have to say. And you quit telling me what to say. We need to take a break, don't we?
Yes.
We don't have any time, right?
No.
Let's come back and talk to Deflategate next.
105 The Ticket.
We're here with Super Bowl champion and probable ball deflator, Tom Brady. Are you a cheater, Tom Brady?
Absolutely.
Did you have an accomplice?
Coach Belichick.
Coach has been known to cheat.
Yeah, he does that a lot. Like I said, I had no...
Just last weekend in Vegas, you were caught counting cards.
Yeah.
You cheated words with friends.
Yeah.
While at the store, Tom Brady, do you eat grapes while you shop? Grapes you haven't paid for?
It's the same process that I always go through. I didn't think anything of it.
Well, Tom Brady, it's also been disclosed by Barbarian Wizard 22 that you use cheat codes on Clash of Clans.
I mean, I feel like I've always played within the rules. I would never do anything to break the rules.
Do you also cheat on Giselle?
Absolutely. You know, everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky.
I get it. Sometimes, no matter how hot and tasty the buttermilk biscuit is, you just got to have a scone.
What would you like me to say? I'm not quite sure.
Is this also true, Tom Brady? Was it you sending out emails, bilking people out of their life savings, posing as a Nigerian prince?
It could be, yeah. You know, it definitely could be.
And in a recent interview, you admitted that you give your passwords to your friends so they can watch Netflix for free.
Yeah, I know. I remember, you know, I obviously read that I said that.
Tom Brady, you are a monster.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. Tom Brady on the show.
You know, it's really funny. We have to somehow segue to Tom Reed. that's the worst part of this, is that we've decided...
It's not the worst part, it's the best part.
Yeah, exactly. But for Tom, I think it must be the tough part, because now everyone thought that was about Tom Reed, not Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case.
The way he was looking at me, just with the eye, like, what are you
what are
getting
we doing?
Me into?
I would have answered the same way.
You probably would have. Yeah, I don't know. You can answer this one for me.
Yep.
Can the Wild win 4 games in a row, Tom Reed?
Yes, they can. They've done it before. Can they do it again? Yeah. Is it going to be difficult? You bet it is.
Have they won 4 games in a row against the same exact team?
No.
Yeah. No. They'd be the only fifth team, I think, in NHL history if they did that.
Yeah, 181 times, they'd be the fifth team to do it.
So my question to you is, obviously, we all hope that the Minnesota Wild win. We want them to win the Stanley Cup. We're huge fans, obviously. Realistically, though, are you thinking that this could be your last game tonight?
No. Hopefully not.
Well, hopefully it's got to cross your mind because, us coming down here, this might be our last time at Tom Reed's. We've got to soak it in. We love it here.
We want you to come back, believe me. But, there's some things they have to do. There's things they have to correct. Number one, they have to score goals. You don't score goals by making passes all the time. You've got to get to the net. You've got to take shots. You've got to, you can't take a look around and figure out where am I going to pass the puck. Shoot the puck to the net, get the big bodies in front, and get some garbage goals. I don't care how they go in as long as they go in.
But that seems like hockey 101. Why aren't they doing that?
Well, it's easier said than done because some guys are accustomed to being playmakers, and yet they're brought here in order to score goals. So I'm talking about Vanek right now. He's a guy, he's got to score goals. He's a tremendous asset when he's playing at the top of his game. And when he isn't, it's tough to watch. But he's got to move his feet. But he's a great team guy. The guys like him. There's no question about it. But he's one of the guys that really has to step up here.
Is it exposed sometimes, Tom, when the competition gets better, it gets stiffer, more intense as the playoffs keep going here? A player who doesn't move well, a player who doesn't have the same intensity, or lacks matching everyone else's intensity. He sticks out like a sore thumb.
That's exactly what I was thinking. He stands out like a sore thumb, and he does.
Yeah.
And when you watch him out there and you want him to do well, you want him to do the things that are necessary to get goals. But it isn't just him. There's other guys in the team that have not stepped up yet, and they have to make, they're making some line changes tonight, and we'll see if that helps the squad offensively. And I give Mike Yo credit because when you've been successful with what you have, you try and hold that together.
Yeah.
But at some point, you've got to break it apart and say, it's not working, so let's try something else.
We were talking to Mark Parrish a little bit earlier in the show, and why, as a guy who isn't a hockey expert, that's why we have you on, Tom Reed. Why aren't they, I think we talked about this on Tuesday, too. You said the Chicago Blackhawks are just getting in the lane. They're playing tough defense, and it's tough for the Minnesota Wild to get shots off. But why aren't they just firing shots constantly at the goal, hoping for one goes in or a rebound or something to happen?
I think part of that, Ben, is the confidence of this team right now. I think it's a little bit fragile. They're afraid that they can't score, so they're passing off the puck to somebody else who they feel can score. But even getting the shots through to the net, it's been very difficult because the Blackhawks play a very good defensive style of play when they're in their own zone. One of the biggest problems I see, and I talk about this all the time, is faceoffs. You lose that faceoff, and you spend 20, 25 seconds trying to get it back, and by the time you get it back, you're too gassed to do anything with it. Yeah. You just dump it in and go to the bench. So they've got to be better on the faceoffs. That has been awful the last couple of games, and they've got to find a way to correct that. If they do that, by winning the draw, now they've got puck possession. Now they get more opportunities offensively.
Personnel changes. Leopold out, Prosser in. Anyone else that you know of or would make a change if it was you? Personnel-wise for this game?
No, I don't think there's anybody else I would bring in because of that. I look at Prosser. He'll be a little more aggressive physically. Yeah. On that left side, he's worked well with Dumba before, so I'll place him with Dumba on the right side. But I think he might give a little more of an element of that physical play in front of the net. And that's they need that, too, because you can't allow guys just to freewheel all the time. A guy like Kane, you have to take the body. I don't mean knock him down and kill him and everything else, things like that. But you've got to take the body with him and slow him down. And you have to rush their defense. You've got to put the pressure on their defensemen also. Our guys are getting pressured in our defensive zone. Put it on their side.
No kidding. We're talking to Tom Reed. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub giving away tickets tonight to sit in the 105 The Ticket suite at the XL Energy Center for Game 4. This might seem like another odd question to you, Tom Reed, but does it seem like the Minnesota Wild change up their lines more than most other teams, or is that just on par for the league average?
No, it's probably average for the league. Everybody changes. When things aren't going well, you're not going to stand pat from the beginning of the season to then. You're going to make changes all the way along. You have to because of injuries, because of sicknesses, because of other situations, suspensions. So you're always going to make changes. And when things aren't going well, you've got to make those alts to the lineup to make sure that maybe you put a combination together that can have some production for this team.
Do you think that that Coach Yo pushed Suter and maybe even Dubnyk too far without rest? Or would we have made it? Would we have even made it without Dubnyk?
We would not have made it without Dubnyk in the net. I'll guarantee you. Things were not going well. Could they have given him some time off near the end of the season? Possibly.
Yeah.
But they were pushing then for trying to get that third spot also, chasing Chicago, which they'd have missed out by 2 points. Had they won the last game, Minnesota, they would have been in that third position, and Chicago would have been on the outside on that wild card number one. But it didn't work out that way. But you know what? Players want to play. And I think Suter sometimes plays too much.
Okay.
I think you can get gassed after a while, or you start to play a game where you slow things down a little bit so you don't have to use all that energy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a forward. You're going to go. Look at Parisi. He goes all the time. He doesn't slow down at all.
But
Suter's the type of guy that can control a game. You watch him. He'll get the puck, and if he wants to get a line change, he'll circle back in his own zone, and all of a sudden the line change will take place, and then he moves the puck back up ice. Sometimes, and I've talked to him about that, and he said, oh, no, I want to play more. Well, yeah, I understand that part of it, but I don't know if it's always a good thing.
Yeah. Talking to Tom Reed, as much as Mike and I talk about Devin Dubnyk, it was a 1-0 goal game three. You can't do much better than that, obviously, than maybe just pitching a shutout.
Well, that'd be better.
But I mean, you said you can't win if you aren't scoring goals, and so Devin Dubnyk still, in my opinion, he's had a couple of iffy games. The 6-1 game against the St. Louis Blues, kind of a stinker in the first period against the Chicago Blackhawks at game one. Maybe a couple of questionable goals in game two, but overall Devin Dubnyk is still playing lights out.
Well,
he's giving him every chance to win.
Well, he was a better goalie in the first series. In the second series so far, Crawford's been the better goalie. Crawford has come up with some huge saves. It's not that Minnesota hasn't had chances. They've had some tremendous chances. They just have not been able to beat them enough to win a hockey game, and so they've got to find a way to do that. Dubnyk's been okay, but there's some areas still that he has falters here and there, but he's the reason that Minnesota's in this series right now.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So true. And, what would be an X-factor player? What would be one guy that could make something a big difference if he applied more, if Yo played him different? Dumba, just a hard rocket on goal as often as possible and let them get the rebound or what?
Well, I'm looking at Dumba. I mean, he's done pretty well. He's got two goals this year in the playoffs, and both of them are power play goals. But I think a guy like Zucker has to step up. I think Niederreiter has to step up. I think Banik has to step up. Those three guys. And Koivu. Koivu's not getting points either. And, you know, he's very good defensively, but he needs to have some point production also from the front end.
Tough question here. At the end of if this should come to a screeching halt,
we're open at 2 a.m. The question, what time is you close? We close at 2 a.m.
That was good. I'll be back. And by the way, you answered my question. So, I mean, that was all I was looking for. So I can come back and get smashed right here and just sleep downstairs somewhere.
After game three, I didn't even leave. I think I finally left in the third period. I was enjoying some ice-cold beers here. It was fantastic. I had a whole rack of ribs today.
Oh,
and that's kind of why I'm a little seepies over here.
He smarfed all over.
I see it on your shirt.
Yeah. Really?
Not a lot.
Dang it. I have it everywhere.
So if it ends tonight, will there be wholesale changes with this team in any way? Or will they make, obviously every team goes back to the chalkboard. Everyone assesses what they've got going on, and then you make the changes. How significant, if any?
There's always going to be changes. Yeah. You have to make changes if you want to improve. And I had Scotty Bowman on the air the other night with us during the broadcast. And he once told me this, and I've known Scotty since 1967 when he started with the St. Louis Blues. But he said, you know, the one thing that he always felt was, even though they win the Stanley Cup, and Scotty has won a lot of games, a lot of cups over the years, you have to change at least 20% of your lineup.
Why do you have to?
Because you've got to move the older players out and transition in the younger players and get them to develop and so on. And that's, if you go back to the New York Islanders, I use that as an example. They won 4 Stanley Cups in a row in the early 80s, but they didn't change any of the older guys. And they got older because, they were the fan favorites. They wanted them there.
But I'll take 4 Stanley Cups.
I understand that, but they haven't won a cup since because they really weren't flouting. They flouted for a number of years because they didn't have those top draft choices.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, they had the older guys, and they didn't develop them. And all of a sudden, they've been on the outside looking for a lot of years now. Now they're finally at a point now that they've made some good decisions, and they've had some pretty good success. So that will continue, hopefully, for those guys. But you've got to move those older guys out and bring in the new guys.
Those were great teams. Larry Potvin and Messier and those guys.
I'd take one Stanley Cup for Pete's sake.
Your best years are going to be between, for forwards, especially like 26 to 30 years of age. And we've got guys who are up at that upper end of that scale, like Parisis and the Pominvilles and the Suitors and the Vanics and so on. I look at Chicago, they're just coming into those best years, the Canes and the Taves and the Seabrooks and the Duncan Keiths. I mean, Saad, I mean, it goes on and on. So they've got some pretty good talent for the next few years.
Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, obviously there's Backstrom, who'll probably be bought out at the end of the year, I would imagine.
Yeah, we don't know that, but we assume that.
Yeah, Bergenheim, Stewart.
Stewart, yeah.
What's his nuts? Jordan Leopold. All those guys.
Well, yeah, they a lot of those guys, agents. Their contracts are over. Yeah, they're done.
So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of these guys that are, you know, obviously, and it's not like the Wild have a ton of cap room.
Right. And those are tough decisions for the coach making.
And they got to re-sign Dubnyk.
Dubnyk's got to re-sign, too. And is he, what's he worth? What's he worth at his hockey club? So you got to be careful how you couch that, too.
That should be interesting to see what they do with Dubnyk and the price tag.
If his price tag is too high, and is he a $6 million goaltender? I don't think so.
No.
If he's demanding that, and there's maybe some teams out there willing to pay that price.
Wow. But what's important to him? I mean, he's been a journeyman goalie all over the place. He finally found success really here. He was out of the league last year for a little while, wasn't he?
Well, he was in the minors. He went to the American Hockey League at the end of his career.
But and everything that he's possibly said, he loves the guys. He loves the city. Yeah. He loves the team.
I mean, when you're winning, you do.
He's living in Zach Parise's house.
For free?
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. Probably not.
That's going to stop. If they re-sign him, that's going to stop.
Yeah. But what's more important to him?
Him out on the street.
His, you know, being comfortable and happy, maybe, you know, or going someplace and having a possible problem again, but making the money.
Yeah, it's not always going to be the dollars. You know, you got to look at the surrounding. And you have to look at how is a team developing. Are they on the upswing or are they on the downswing? What have they done?
No kidding.
I think there's
a lot that can be said for a player finding a home and a position where the team loves him, his teammates love him, the community already loves Dubnyk. I mean,
and he's great. He is. Great kid.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It,
thanks,
man. Unbelievable. We love having Tom on. And
I was hoping he'd sing that Minnesota Wild theme song that we love.
He won't do
that. The state of hockey.
He won't.
Your mom was the referee.
He's not going to do that.
This Tom and that, that, and blood and guts. The state of hockey.
My mom was a referee and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I thought it was so cute of Mark Parrish to throw an S-bomb in there, too. That was very nice.
To ask what?
Mark Parrish threw an S-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was very funny. That was very funny.
I loved that. I loved it.
I don't know about this guy.
No. We're going to talk about Deflategate. We got a little shuffling going on. Jim Rich is going to be live on TV, so we're going to move him. Okay. He's going to be here live on location at 6:30. We didn't get a chance to talk about Deflategate because we had our hero here, Tom Reed of Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. We're also giving away sweet tickets, not just tickets that are sweet. I'm talking about in our 105 The Ticket suite for tonight's game. Come down and get signed up for those. We'll give those away shortly before or after we get off the radio here at 7 o'clock tonight. As it starts to pack up here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pro.
Get on down here. Register for those sweet tickets. Yeah. It must be present to win. And by the way, Ticket Thursdays at Tom Reed's is presented by Rogacheski. Rogacheski and Atkins, they are criminal defense attorneys. So before you blow, call Rogo.
Amen, brother.
And do that right away. Anytime
snap
that happens.
Snap it to a Slim Jim.
Snap it to a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. Now we're going to do that little Deflategate thing.
Oh, God.
I mean, was he cheating or not? Of course he was. Let's see how he tried to lie his way out of it and find out how much how mad his father is.
And his agent. They are both spouting off like crazy.
We have fathers involved in everything. Matt Khalil's father just thinks that Matt looks great.
Yeah.
Brady's old man says that this is repulsive, what you're doing to my son. And then Patino says, you know, my kid probably could have had the Alabama job, but he's chose here. So, Dad,
why don't we get Adrian Peterson's dad on, or else's dad? Yeah. Let's get Thomas Vanek's dad on and ask him why he sucks right now. Hey, Mr. Thomas Vanek's dad.
Get over here.
I mean,
why to you?
Who cares about these people's dads?
Stay out of it.
So dumb.
Your dad doesn't have a contract with the team.
I mean, I love my dad. You love your dad. Our dads are great people, but
of course.
If you want to understand or know what's going on with 105 The Ticket, are you going to go call my dad? I mean, what is this, third grade?
If I thought that something really bad would happen to you, like he would ground you from doing this radio show, I would do it. I would do it.
So funny. Let's call somebody's dad.
I'll call your dad. We'll call your dad.
Let's call somebody's dad.
Not a problem at all. And your dad would probably call you a maroon. As Jeff Christie used to say, a moron. He would say maroon. Anyway, come on back, everyone. We're going to have a lot of fun discussing a little Deflategate next.
the NASCAR Sprint Cup.
Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about in much better detail, information than I could possibly provide. I could tell you that in my entire coaching career, I have never talked to any player, staff member about football air pressure. That is not a subject that I have ever brought up.
But his dad has something to say about it.
Oh, well, I mean, put his old man on. He's got his opinion. He'll share with us.
Is it just me being in a grumpy attitude today because I had so much to eat and it's rainy days and Mondays always get me down? The Wilder down 3-0.
It's Thursday.
But rainy days and Mondays. Is a rainy kind of a rainy day? Is what I'm saying. I mean, it's just. Or is it the fact that
you're in?
I just want dad. Who keeps asking dads?
I know
what they think about what's going on.
It's ridiculous.
What does...
Leave your old man out. Don't have your old man come and fight for you.
What is Adrian Peterson's dad going to say that I really care about?
I don't know, but he will say something.
Of course he will.
He's been known to say something.
Tom Brady's dad, Tom Brady Sr., was interviewed by USA Today, and he said, quote, he said a lot of things, and so I'm going to run through these things, and I want you to kind of react to them, okay?
Oh, I'll react.
First off, he goes, I don't have any doubt about my son's integrity, not one bit. Of course you don't. He's your son.
And you taught him to lie.
In this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. It just seems Tommy is now guilty until proven innocent.
Yes, Dad. Tommy is, he's innocent right now. Is he? I mean, really? No. The damn footballs were deflated. They had to put air in every one of them at halftime of the game. And the knucklehead didn't need to have them deflated because he tore up the second half against the Colts anyway.
Here's one thing that I kind of agree with Tom Brady Sr.
Okay.
This thing is so convoluted, he said. They say that possibly, he was aware of this. The reality is if you can't prove he did it, then he's innocent and lay off him. That's the bottom line. This was frame gate right from the beginning.
That's
I don't believe
true.
The frame gate right from the beginning.
What he said is true.
But the whole...
If you're going to put someone out there...
The Wells report, he possibly, probably, may have known something about this. Well, did he or didn't he?
That's the bottom line. They were paid, I'm sure, good money to find out whether he did or not. You're going to come back with more probable than not. He might have had some knowledge of it. What the hell is that?
But
that gives him a wide open window to just jump out of it and not be disciplined at all.
And that's what the NFL is hoping for. They don't want to discipline the golden boy. And so I would say that, you know, Tom Brady Sr., hello, the NFL is on your son's side. They don't want him to go down with the ship because he is Joe Montana.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
He is.
He's the guy that went, he just won the MVP of this last Super Bowl.
Well, and he went past Joe Montana every single mark that Montana ever had, including Super Bowl wins and MVPs and touchdown passes. He surpassed all of Joe Montana's playoff touchdowns, Super Bowl touchdowns. He went past all of those marks.
He's the All-American kid, played for Michigan, didn't really play for Michigan, was the sixth-round draft pick, made good, had married the beautiful, a model, has the All-American life, richer beyond belief. He went on to say, how can Tommy defend himself? It's impossible. This is so distorted. To have something come out like this and say it's more probable than not, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Well, Tommy, is what you call him, Tom Brady, can defend himself, but instead he's hiding. He refuses to answer questions, and he's hiding.
Well, he doesn't have to say anything.
He answered questions.
He doesn't have to say anything now because the Wells report basically cleared him.
Well, he said something in his press conference, and he basically bold-faced lied to the country, and he lied to Bill Belichick saying he knew nothing about it. Even though those text messages by the people in charge of the locker room and the locker room attendant and the assistant are basically saying, calling themselves the deflator, saying, talking about how Tom likes his balls deflated and this and that. I mean, that's pretty much proof. Tom Brady Sr. went on to say, I'm watching the NFL Network saying it could be fined or suspended. Are you kidding me? No, we're not kidding you. He's ruining the integrity of the game.
Stupidity. Honestly, to think that you would put those kinds of people on that case. Investigation where they're actually looking into the forensics and the evidence on these two knuckleheads' phones and picking up on all the texts. And, of course, Brady refuses his phone because it's on there.
Yeah.
Just read into it. Yeah. He doesn't want you to look at his phone for a number of reasons, I'm sure. But he doesn't want you to see the correspondence between him and the two knuckleheads.
Yeah. Brady's agent Don Yee came out swinging, too. He's saying the entire investigation was not only flawed, but carried out by people who have, quote, a limited understanding of professional football. In a statement, he said, the Wells report, with all due respect, is a significant and terrible disappointment. Its omission of key facts and lines of inquiry suggests the investigators reached a conclusion first and then determined so-called facts later. Yee even suggests that the NFL cooperated with the Indianapolis Colts to run a sting operation.
Jesus.
With the end goal of embarrassing Tom and the Patriots. Because, yeah, that's exactly what Roger Goodell, who is a puppet boy, who is a little poodle on the lap of Robert Kraft.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know who's on whose leash or whose puppet and who's Geppetto and who is Pinocchio. Well, but I know who Pinocchio is. That's Tom Brady. And I'll just say this.
Usually the guy with the money has the power. And who's got the money? It's not Roger Goodell, though he makes $40 million a year.
He's not a billionaire.
It is Robert Kraft, who is in charge of a ton of these councils that the NFL has and is one of the marquee owners of one of the marquee franchises in the NFL.
He's got the model franchise. Everyone would love to cookie cut exactly what the New England Patriots do. And the fact is, they went on to say that basically he might have had some knowledge. And that's so easy now to get a loophole on that. The investigation was conducted already. He's got an out. They allowed it.
Yeah.
By the way, since the reports came out and everything, Brady was choppered in to an appearance apparently at Salem State.
Oh, good for him.
He had to come in on a chopper. Okay.
Brady's agent Don Yee went on to say that that Ted Wells was not running an independent investigation because his firm makes a lot of money from the NFL and is heavily influenced by the league, again saying that basically the league has it out for Tom Brady, which there is no reason for that. The league has had Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy. The last thing they want is for their featured boy, Tom Brady, the MVP of the Super Bowl, to have problems or to have any sort of cloud going into the Super Bowl, which it was after the AFC Championship game. Yee continues, the Wells report omitted nearly all of Tom's testimony, most of which was critical because it would have provided this report with the context that it lacks. For the record, Yee never flatly denied Brady's involvement or general awareness of Deflategate, but says there's definitely more to the story. And obviously we went through the text messages exchanged between the equipment man about Brady and the fact that Brady claims to have never even known McNally, a man who he signed countless memorabilia for, is the most damning proof against the Patriots. Why else would a grown man refer to himself as the deflator months before the whole Deflategate controversy even came up? This was back in October. And why would Brady deny knowing a man if the relationship had been on the up and up? It's because he's hiding. He's hiding things.
Evade.
And when Tom Brady has never called, I believe it was Yastrzemski, had never called him. And as soon as this Deflategate thing happened, he called him three times. Was it six times? And talked to him for 30 minutes apiece.
Oh, yeah. Trying to get his story straight so that if they confronted him, he wanted his story to match with whoever, Yastrzemski. But Channel 4, CBS out of Boston, ran a survey in their paper. Three options you could vote for.
Okay.
No punishment for Tom Brady. Suspension of Tom Brady. And a fine, just a fine for Tom Brady. And I punched in a suspension.
Yes, you should.
And I did.
Yeah.
And then to get the results, that is.
Yeah.
51.56% of the people that voted here, and I don't have an exact number, but no punishment. Now, this is out of Boston.
This is
out
of Boston. Of course it is.
Can you imagine the other players that have been busted for things in this league? He's going to actually get by with doing this. You watch. 29.3%. Suspended, 19.414% want him fined. Well, of course, because you can't fine him enough money. He's got too much. He's got so much money. He wouldn't even. Are you kidding?
I wonder what Bill Belichick is thinking about this whole deal. Because for once, he's coming out of this deal looking like a peach, and everybody's forgotten about Spygate or this or that. And now it looks like Tom Brady's the dirtball out of the two, or out of the entire franchise. Most people, I think, like Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, although he tends to be drunk oftentimes when he's being interviewed. He was after the Super Bowl, don't you think? He had to have been, allegedly. I guess if I have to say allegedly.
He had a couple 13
first. He I don't know. It's just,
no question about it. I mean, he's one of the more powerful guys. He's got a heavy influence on anything that happens with the labor agreements and the lockout. I mean, it was pretty much up to Kraft. I mean, it was Kraft that made the difference in allowing that to come to closure. He's got a big voice. He does have a big voice with the other owners, and
he wears Air Jordans to the White House.
Very stylish.
He's an interesting.
Very stylish.
Well, I wouldn't say that's necessarily stylish. I would say he's definitely interesting.
Yeah,
he's
no
like
question.
An 80 year old guy wearing Air Jordans with his suit,
drunk
to the White House.
Yeah,
half in the bag, allegedly.
Half. Do we have to talk with Berardino today?
Yeah, we have to. We want to.
Yeah.
The Twins are on fire.
They're playing so well, I know. They already won today.
Today's really the only day we'd really like to talk to Mike Berardino.
Really?
Yes.
You think so? I don't know about that. I don't know if I
want to rub it in his face. Not rub it in his face, but say, huh, how'd my guy? My guy, Eddie Rosario. I've been asking you for a whole year why they haven't pulled up Eddie Rosario. The guy's got the goods.
And Vargas,
and Vargas, I love Vargas.
I know you do.
First pitch. Bam.
Bye.
Gone.
Bye-bye. You want to do a little hardball then next?
Yes.
I should probably tell you that this whole show, the whole entire show that we're doing right now is brought to you by Rogaszewski, and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. So before you blow call Rogo, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Mike Berardino with a little hardball for all you seam heads.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Eddie Rosario, left-handed batter, has his family here, and this will be very well documented. Drive to left field. This is back. This is gone.
I got goosebumps. Unbelievable. Wow.
I can't believe that. That is just tremendous.
They give him the silent treatment. How about a curtain call?
Talk about making a splash in your major league debut on the first pitch.
There it is.
Wow, yeah, unbelievable. Joined now by Mike Berardino, Hardball, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press. What did I tell you about Eddie Rosario? I've been begging you for the, I know that you don't really have anything to do with it, but I've been begging for the Twins to call up Eddie Rosario for like a year now. First pitch he sees, bye! Sayonara, suckers. Mike Berardino, how are you?
I'm good. I really don't remember you begging for Eddie Rosario. I know you can find the tape, I suppose. I don't remember that. I thought Kenny Vargas was your guy. How many guys do you have?
I have a lot of guys. I do have a lot of guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always been my favorite guy. I mean, Kenny Vargas was my favorite, my guy when he came up here. I didn't know a ton about Kenny Vargas, but I've been watching Eddie Rosario. In fact, I wanted him to replace Brian Dozier before last year, before Brian Dozier had his great year, obviously. But I was hoping he'd be a second baseman. Obviously, he's playing in the outfield. But a heck of a game last night. Another great game today. The Minnesota Twins are absolutely on fire. 3 games above .500.
Yes, that's something they have not been able to say since the end of 2010. And, yes, that was a while ago. So now they go on to Cleveland, and they get another bit of luck because Corey Kluber pitching today, not pitching well, but that's the Cy Young winner. So they'll miss him in Cleveland. They just missed Sonny Gray out of that Oakland staff. They were due a little good luck because, as Torrey Hunter mentioned a few days ago, the first month of the season, they caught everybody's ace and their number two as well. So this is the kind of thing you need to have to get on a roll.
And I'm really big on just knowing and liking all the players so that when somebody does something good, I was picking that player as the star of the show.
What a jackass.
So, yeah, yeah.
Shut your yap.
You know, we have an article that was just written in Cold Omaha by one of the writers, Mike Berardino, and it was about what happened the day after they had a free day in April between series. Things all sort of came together, and you know what? They didn't really say too much about it. Torrey Hunter said he just told them to get back, get a good steak, get a good night's rest, and when you come back, be ready to play some baseball. And, you know, I guess that was the turning point. But would you agree with that? I mean, things have just – it was just amazing how this thing came together.
Well, it all just came back to red meat, apparently, because Torrey did remind them.
It's a protein.
That, You're just not going to be able to perform without a good steak in you. They'd forgotten that for the first
week.
Right. Too much fish, too much chicken.
Right.
Way too healthy, and so the little artery clogging was all they needed to take
yes.
off. Yes. Yeah.
Apparently so.
Red meat does do a body good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I've got going on right now.
Ben ate about, I'd say, the best part of. Talk about St. Louis like baby back ribs. He ate St. Louis.
Yeah, it was a heck of a day. The best ribs I've had ever at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. The bones, I'm just pulling them right out of the meat. They were so tender. Talking to Mike Berardino, Hardball, TwinCities.com.
Yeah.
Pioneer Press brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins, never tasted this refreshing. We talk about, and I think you kind of you calm us down quite often, Mike Berardino. The first couple of series where the Twins were, I believe it was 1-6 to begin the year, and everybody's like, oh, God, here we go. It's over. But really, this last homestand, 11 games, the Twins were 8-3, outscoring opponents 73-39 and winning 7 out of their last 8. It's got to be a fun baseball team to cover right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's something a lot of them have never experienced, which is any sort of sustained winning in the majors. It is a pretty young roster, but, you know, we'll see how they handle prosperity. There's always that. Paul Molitor, it was asked recently if he liked all the post-game celebrations that the Twins have been doing, especially in the clubhouse right after their wins. They have a fog machine in there, and they're pumping the music and everything after every single win, and it's a big party. And then they let the media in, and they turn the fog machine off. There's no more fun for any. Put the mirror ball away, and that's it. But Molitor says that, you know, he prefers even keel, but he knows, especially with a young team, you know, it's good. It's good to make sure you pat yourself on the back when things are going well, because the game will bite you at many turns.
Yeah, no question about it. They turn the fog machines off, and they have steaks. So, I mean, that's the bottom line. They
oftentimes,
eat a steak.
Oftentimes, when they have the fog machines on, they are cranking and just jamming out to Matchbox 20's 3 a.m.
Jeez, that's sucks.
And they're eating
steak. I mean,
they're eating steak. They're in there eating steak. I know it. And as soon as
they
put the plates away, and they never offer us anything.
They put it away. They go, you know what? This is a whole different thing now. We want you people to know. We'll never tell the press everything. We want you to think that we have just pretzels from the stadium here and with cheese. And that's what we do. We just get fatter all the time. But anyway.
Yeah
but someone hit the fog machine again.
It's a state fair in there every day, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Apparently so. And I don't know what happened to this team. I'm glad it's happening the way it is. It took place even after we lost Santana. With the 80-game suspension for performance enhancement. And it's just an amazing thing to see him come along. Danny Santana at the bottom of the lineup, coming up big in a few games. I mean, he's not just a black hole anymore. I mean, it's a pretty good thing to watch him do what he's doing now to contribute.
Trevor Plouffe in the middle of your order today,
yes.
Hitting third, but generally going to be hitting fourth. You know, they won today without Joe Mauer. We haven't mentioned that. Able to steal a day of rest for him, and that's important. Once a month, I think they'd like to do that and get him going again. And it's good. It's all been very nice. They'd probably like a few more quality starts out of their starters, as they noted today on Twitter. They 29 games, only have 10 quality starts, the 6-inning, 3 earned runs or less deal. Kyle Gibson's given them 4, so that's certainly another positive. And you have to think Phil Hughes will get on a little bit of a roll here. He thinks he can, and I know they believe that. It would be very similar to last year. The last go, they need to get him going. You know, 5 innings isn't going to be enough, but Trevor May, as we talked yesterday, is certainly showing signs. So, I don't think that this is a mirage or anything. I think that it's a division that's compressed, and the Twins would like to be heard.
So far, so good. It's going to be a fun summer. Talking Twins baseball with Mike Berardino every day at 5:30. Brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins, never tasted this refreshing. Thanks, Mike. Stay dry, because it is raining like a son bitch out here in St. Paul.
Yes, sir. All right. Talk to you later.
Have a steak. We've got plenty to do. I mean, now we're going to reshuffle here a little bit. Are we going to go with our other guy for the other guy? Or what I'm looking at here is, I don't know. You tell me.
We've already had Tom Reed on.
Yeah.
So what do you want to talk about next?
Well, I didn't know if James was coming on or not.
James will be here at 6:30. Jim Rich is coming in at 6:30.
Okay, you already told me that. Well, then let's...
We can talk about the Wild if you want to.
Want
to talk about the Wild, or you want to talk about the Vikings?
We're talking Vikings. We're talking about NFL news. Lael Collins.
Got signed by the
Dallas Cowboys. We'll come back and talk about that right after the break.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.
Hey, Twin Cities, we've discovered a fantastic new vitamin-enhanced nutrition-packed drink called Nature's Fury. This great-tasting drink comes in five refreshing flavors, and Nature's Fury is owned by the local guys. Since Minnesota's now the number one healthiest state, you have to try it. Nature's Fury is the only drink that has 100% of your recommended daily allowance.